As you can see in our bulletin, our gospel lesson for today comes from the first chapter of Mark's gospel, the 21st through the 28th verse. This is the lectionary reading for this, the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. And I invite you to hear these words and maybe try to hear them as if for the first time. I know you can't do that, but try. What word do they speak to you today at this point on your faith journey? They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed. And they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, sometime last spring, I started trying to make time to get back to the gym and to work out. I wasn't feeling great, and I said, well, I got to get some more energy. I've got to start exercising. So anyway, I started to do that. And as you know, if you have ever done that after a long hiatus, that's tough. It's tough to get back in the schedule, but I was determined. So I set my calendar, and I was faithful. 3 days a week, I was getting out there. And so one particular day, I remember, I was there, and I was trying to get reacclimated to the whole gymnasium area. And I walked in, it's this big room, and I'm just kind of taking an assessment. I'm looking around. Over there are the weight machines, got it. Over there are the free weights, got it. Over there are the aerobic machines, got it, you know, and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, I can't remember which machine it was. I think it was the bicep curl machine, you know, that machine where you put your arms, you do that sort of motion. And my plan was, I decided, I was going to start on that machine. And then I was going to work on that machine, and I was going to work on the next machine. I was going to work through the whole circuit, and that was going to be my workout. Great. So anyway, I went over to this particular machine, and you know how they work, right? You got the stack of, I guess they're iron weights, and they're enumerated. And you have a pin, and what do you do with that pin? Yeah, blah, blah. Yeah, you stick it in the place where you want, where you see the enumeration that fits you. You stick it in there, and then you lift it. If you want to do 30 pounds, what do? You put in 30 pounds. Thank you. If you want to do 80 pounds? Ah, yeah, you're catching on. Okay. So anyway, I decided I was going to do this machine, so I went over, and I took the pen and stuck it in 220, and I just started kind of cranking out. You are listening. The other services heard that too. Okay, now just calm down. It was a joke. Just calm down. It was 230. But anyway, I found the weight that worked for me, okay? And then I started working out. Well, in between one of the sets, I was sitting there, and this man strolled by in front of the machine. And I could tell by the look on this man's face, he was really into this. I mean, he was really, really determined. He's pretty serious. And he was looking straight ahead. He had no expression on his face. He had this towel draped over around his neck. He was ready. He was a thin guy. I remember he was kind of wiry looking. And anyway, this guy, and I'll call him Bruno for the illustrative purposes. But Bruno walked by me, and then he stopped at the machine right next to me. Stopped that machine. Now, if you've ever been to the gym, then you know the first thing that you do when you encounter a new person at the gym, right? You don't say hi. You don't do that kind of stuff. No. You do this. You do an assessment, a kind of a physical exam. And you take all the data that you accumulate with that scan, and you put it into a formula, and then you come up with a strength index. That's kind of what I do. And then you can estimate how much weight they're going to lift at every machine in the place. So anyway, Bruno came over. He was thin. This guy's really, really, really thin, and he had really short shorts on and kind of baggy. I know it doesn't matter, but I just want you to get the full image. And I think he had one of those terry cloth, you know, headbands around his head. And anyway, he's pretty serious. Oh, and I don't know if I mentioned this or not. He was about 105 years old. He's about 105 years old. Anyway, I'm looking at, I do all the assessments. I look at Bruno. I'm thinking, he's going to be lucky to lift that bar. If he can get that bar up over his head, that's going to be good. And he went to it's a military press machine. So you sit down, his back's fairly straight, and he's just pushing this weight straight up in his head. So anyway, I see Bruno sits down. I'm just kind of keeping an eye on him. And he pulls the pen. And I'm thinking, where is he going to put that? I mean, he doesn't need to put the pen in there. He can just work out without the pen. But if he wants to, more power to him. So he puts the pen in the machine. And I'm waiting because I'm watching in case he needs some help. You know, I'm just kind of keeping an eye on Bruno. But anyway, all of a sudden, he just starts pushing this bar up. One. Two. And he does I think 10 of them. And then he drops that weight back down. No, just smooth reps, no sign of distress. He survived the military press. And I tell you, I almost started applauding. I mean, when I was like, all right, Bruno. Then he stood up and he went and got a towelette that you're required to do, you know, at the gym. And I was glad to see that because I was next on the machine. And he wiped it down and then he headed off to another part of the gym. Well, it was my turn on the military press machine. And let me just say this, that one of the greatest moments in life is when you take possession of a machine and you're right behind the person and you lean over and you take the pen and you pull it out and you do what? You just drop it on down a little bit. And as you're doing it, you're looking at the person who's at the machine, you know. and you don't say anything, but you're really saying, I'm better than you. You know, I'm a better person. Did you see where I put that pen? It was way up here, now it's way down there. Anyway, I didn't say anything. I just patted him on the back, said, good try, go, go, go. And off Bruno went. But anyway, I looked down. I sat down at the military press machine, and I looked down, and I was going to move the pin. And it was gone. The pin wasn't even in there. And Bruno's going out. I said, he stole the pin. So I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I'm going to try. He can't go around stealing the pins from all the machines. So I'm going to go over there and get that pin back. So anyway, so I start to move toward him, and I lean over. My glasses fall off my head. Okay. So anyway, I lean over to get my glasses, and I discover something that horrifies me. Horrifies me. I almost blacked out. The pin wasn't missing. It was in the very bottom. And I'm looking over at the guy who just left this machine. And I'm looking down at where that pin is. And I got lightheaded. And I was saying, this is just not right. 105-year-old person should not be pushing 200 pounds up 10 times over their head. Don't they know the way the universe works? So anyway, as I'm trying to recalibrate the universe, I'm just thinking, I'm looking at Bruno as he just fades into the distance. I say, who is that guy? Who is that guy? Suddenly, Bruno goes from being a 105-year-old guy walking through the gym to being somebody who's causing me to re-examine the way I view the world. Somebody who's challenging the order of things. Nobody who's 105 years old should be doing that. They're not done like that. Or are they? Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Did you? Chapter 1. That means we're still at the beginning of the story. And Mark begins the story with these words. The beginning of the good news. Good news. Have you ever used that term, good news? Hey, I've got some good news. How does that make you feel? How do you feel when you're saying that? You feel good. It's good news. And then what Mark does, Mark reaches back into the ancient tradition of the prophets to help us understand what he means about this good news. He goes way back to about the 5th century and to the prophet Malachi. And he reads these words that are replete with anticipation and expectation. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. Good news. Your way. What does that mean? Your way. He continues, and he draws the prophet Isaiah into the conversation. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Now Mark's starting to make some sense out of the details. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Wow, the message is a simple one. They've been waiting for centuries for God to raise someone up, to inaugurate a new day, to anoint someone who would establish the reign of God, who would bring peace and hope and liberation. But they had been waiting. The good news that Mark is sharing with these people is that the wait is over. The wait is over. And he writes, okay, first, cue the curtain. Says all this, the curtain opens. And then these words. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son. The beloved, with you I am well pleased. How's that for an entrance? Unbelievable. Well, it may have been a little bit too much to process, so immediately Jesus goes out into the desert. He heads to the wilderness, because that's what you do. When you're searching for direction or for meaning in your life, you stop, you get away from all distractions, and you just work through it. You figure it out. You find direction. Well, just 40 days. He tries to figure it out. And you know what? He does. He figures it out. In fact, from this point on in the gospel, he is the personification of the good news. Mark tells that Jesus then headed back home up north to Galilee, and he preached a very simple message, and you know it. Let me read it for you. The time is fulfilled. It is complete. It is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not the day after tomorrow or the day after that. It is now. The kingdom of God has come near. Therefore, change the direction of your life and embrace the good news. Friends, it's only chapter 1, verse 15. The rest of the book is about the unfolding of the kingdom, about the building of his kingdom. And what does Jesus do first thing? Calls people to be part of it. Calls people to join the adventure, join him in a new way of doing life. Obviously, the old way wasn't working very well for a lot of folks. Hope was in short supply. Peace, what was that? But even when things are falling apart, it's hard to change. It's hard to change direction. But he calls these fishermen, just these average guys, and says, come on, let's go. What do? They go. They go. They change everything. Leave everything behind. They go a new way. Mark says they entered the town of Capernaum and they went to synagogue because it was the Sabbath. And while there, Jesus began to tell the folks there what was happening all around them. They may not have understood it, but it was happening, he said. And he began to lay out his vision of the good news. Now, Mark doesn't tell us exactly what Jesus says, but he tells us that they were astounded. When was the last time you were astounded by anything? So I thought. They were astounded. And then, as is so often the case, words are just insufficient, and you have to enact your words to make your point. Mark writes that there was a man in the synagogue that day who Mark describes as having an unclean spirit within him. An unclean spirit in him. Friends, unclean was a technical term. It's a religious term. It was a term used to describe someone who was unacceptable to God and therefore unacceptable to the community of God, the community of faith. Well, Jesus would have none of that. None of that. And by speaking to the man, he turns that which is unclean into that which is clean. That is astounding. That is astounding. Wow. By speaking with profound authority, Jesus takes the one who's living outside the circle and welcomes him back in. That's the transforming power of God's grace. That is the good news. And I love the way Mark wraps it up. He writes, they were all amazed and they kept on asking one another, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. Do you remember the old westerns? Town is in a mess. Things flying, guns, firebikes, all over the place. New person walks in. Who is it? New sheriff in town. The people can't believe it. Cleans the place up. They didn't know life could be different. They'd live with the same old stuff forever. They didn't know there was another way. Who was this guy? Who is this guy, they said. Well, how about a manifestation? How about an appearance? How about a revelation? How about an epiphany of what could be? Friends, let me just say this. You have decided. You, everybody in this room, have decided on some level, in some way, that Christianity is your religious tradition at this point, right now, today, this moment. That's why you're here. Even if you're dragged here. This is your way. This is a profound part of your life. This is a means by which you find meaning for your life. But the question is, how exactly does that work? How is this tradition, the path of Jesus, providing direction or meaning for your life? I mean, that's what it's really all about. Or could this whole religious thing, you know, just be something we do? It's Sunday, we go to church. That's it. It's just Sunday. It's just something we do on Sunday. We go to church, we go home, that's that. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's all it is. But if it's more than that, more than that, something we just do on Sunday, then we need to wrestle with what that means. We're coming up on Lent, about 2.5 weeks. And during that 40-day season, we're going to figure it out. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness figuring it out. We're going to do some wrestling together. When a 105-year-old Bruno walked into the gym last spring and then hoisted 200 pounds over his head repeatedly. That challenged everything I knew about the universe and how it was supposed to work. I was left dumbfounded. I was left asking, who is this guy? When Jesus walks into my life through the pages of the Gospels, through the profound and inspiring writings of those who have gone before me, when he walks into my life through the lives of his contemporary followers with whom I am fortunate to become engaged in life and ministry, he challenges me to rethink everything, how the universe works, right down to how I lead my day-to-day life. It's soul-searching time, folks. Soul-searching. Who is this guy? Who is he? How about a manifestation? How about an appearance, a revelation, an epiphany of what could be? How about the good news? When you get right down to it, the epiphany question, a question liturgically, a question we've been asking since Christmas, the question is this, who is this guy? And just as we're about to form a rudimentary answer to that question, Ash Wednesday arrives in the beginning of Lent. And so we turn to the Lenten question. And that Lenten question is this, if we have an understanding of who this Jesus is, and the question for us becomes, what are we going to do about it? What impact is that going to have on my life now? Okay, that's all I got. Okay. Part 2 is next week. We're going to pick up there. Let us pray.